to be involved in day camp this year. Every one of us. Every single day. And the way every one of us can very effectively be involved is by praying. Imagine if every day this week we had 100 Christians, 100 people who have been bought by the blood of Jesus the Messiah. If we had 100 people who have the Holy Spirit living inside of them. Imagine all of us, children of God, going to our sovereign Heavenly Father in prayer, undergirding this whole week of prayer. Imagine if every day we prayed specifically for the salvation of the children who attend day camp and their families, praying that God, the gospel seeds fall into their hearts and that they take hold and that these kids and their families repent and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and become new creations in Christ. Imagine new families joining our church family because they have become Christians. They are disciples of God. Imagine that. We often spend a lot of time praying for safety, and that's good. But there are a lot of safe, comfortable people going to hell. What about praying for salvation? Wouldn't you like to see new believers with us, growing as disciples of Jesus along with us? Let's commit to praying constantly this whole week for day camp. But how do we pray? How do we pray? Well, let's pray together and then we'll look at how to pray. Let's pray. Father, we want to be involved in day camp. Some of us are physically involved, but we know that we can all be involved very effectively through prayer. And Lord, I ask that you would awaken us to that truth and that there would be a lot of motivation in every one of us to be praying for day camp this week and praying according to your scriptures. So open our eyes up, Lord. Help this to make sense and to grab hold of us, and that it would draw us into action. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Those who are in Christ, that passage that Lee read to us, Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 10, that is our story. We were dead in our sin, voluntarily following the devil, following our evil desires, and then God saved us totally by his grace, a gift from God, by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. And now we belong to the Lord, and we will be with him for eternity. That's the story of the redeemed, and hopefully that is every single one of us here. And we want everyone to have that same story. We want all those kids and their families this week to have that same story as Ephesians chapter 2. So to know how to pray for day camp, we have to understand the state of a sinner before the Lord and how God saves people from their sin. So let's begin back in Exodus. Exodus chapter 34, verses 1 through 9, there reveals a very serious problem, the most serious problem in the universe. Verses 6 through 7, the Lord passed before me, that's Moses, passed before him, and proclaimed, so this is the Lord talking now, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the children's children to the third and fourth generation. So here the Lord tells us about himself, about his greatness, his mercy, his graciousness, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, and forgiving. But then he tells us he will by no means clear the guilty. Now, wait a minute. How does God punish the guilty sinner yet forgive sins? How does that work? That's the dilemma. How do the guilty ever come before the holy God who carries out his justice upon the guilty? How does forgiveness of the guilty happen if the guilty will be punished? How is that solved? Well, we know that it centers on God the Son, Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For our sake he made him, Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin. Jesus came in the flesh to go to the cross to be the substitute for the guilty, to receive the punishment the guilty deserve, so that the guilty would no longer be guilty, but forgiven of their sin by the holy God. When a person repents of their sin and puts their faith and trust in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the punishment the guilty sinner deserves is accredited to Jesus. Jesus is treated as the guilty. He gets punished instead of the guilty sinner. Jesus became the guilty one, the substitute, even though he is perfectly innocent. Exodus 34. God doesn't clear the guilty. Either the guilty receive their punishment that they deserve, or the guilty repents and Jesus is their substitute. He became the guilty one on our behalf. Payment of guilt is paid by Jesus and the sinner receives forgiveness. That's how God forgives and by no means clears the guilty. God solved the dilemma with Jesus' substitutionary sacrifice. That's the gospel. And we must remember the gospel if we want to pray biblically for day camp. Remember the four P's of the gospel we went through some time ago? Purpose, problem, plan, personal. Our purpose is to know and worship the holy God in a loving relationship. That's everyone's purpose. That's the reason all of us exist. That's the reason humans were created, to praise God and bring praise to him. But we can't live out our purpose. There's a problem. We cut ourselves off from the holy God because of our sin. Everyone has rejected God as God and serves themselves as God. We're lost, grabbing anything and everything and living for that thing, making that thing our reason for existing. But God loves people and he enacted his plan, which was for himself to come in the flesh, God the Son, Jesus, to come as the substitutionary sacrifice, taking the punishment the sinner deserves by being crucified on the cross. He died in the sinner's place, receiving the sinner's punishment. But he didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead, showing he is king over death, showing that he took all of God's wrath and satisfied God's just demand for sin. And now he calls everyone to make this personal. Personalize Jesus' work on the cross by repenting of sin and believing in Jesus for the forgiveness of sin and right standing before the holy God. Being made born again, receiving eternal life, that's when we can live out our purpose, enjoying and being fulfilled and satisfied by the holy God. That's the gospel. People were created for a purpose, but there's a problem, and that's sin. But God has a plan. That plan is Jesus Christ's life, death, and resurrection, which requires a personal response from everyone, which is repentance and faith in Jesus, the Savior and Lord. And when that happens, forgiveness and a life of worshiping the holy God for eternity. Purpose, problem, plan, personal. That's when Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10 becomes our story. So, to pray for day camp this week, we need to understand the gospel and who these kids are and their families are. Many of them are separated from God by their sin. we need to really understand Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are all sinners. As Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, verse 18, no one is good except God. And in our sin, separate from God, we are in a state of slavery to sin. We are hostile toward God, is how Colossians 1, verse 21 puts it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, we heard that we are explained as living for the devil, living out the desires of our flesh. All these wonderful kids and their families, those coming to day camp, this is them. And to them, just as for us before God saved us, the gospel sounds silly. Listen to these truths. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Romans 8, verse 7 to 8 tells us, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Unbelievers, those in their sin, those separated from God, the lost, many of the families coming this week, they are blind to the truth of who Jesus is. They are blind to the message of the gospel, thinking it is folly, foolishness. All of 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The gospel that the lost think is foolish is the power of God to save sinners. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. The gospel converts people. Romans 10, verse 17. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. People are born again and converted by hearing the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are saved by putting our faith in the one, Jesus, whom the gospel is all about. Isaiah 53, verses 4 to 6 is such a great summary about Jesus and our salvation. Here's what it says. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. And all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The gospel of salvation is Jesus Christ's life, death, and resurrection. So here's another dilemma. If the gospel is foolishness to the lost, and the lost are blind to the gospel, yet the gospel is the power of God for salvation, how will believers be saved by Jesus through the gospel? We go back to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. That points to the answer. The gospel is understood only by the help of God. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Jude 19 describes a natural person as worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. They do not have the Holy Spirit, so they cannot understand the things of God. The gospel message of sin and the Savior, they don't get it. They dismiss the gospel as silly foolishness. Spiritual understanding comes from God. It's a gift from God. It is God making the spiritually blind, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, God opening blind minds so they can see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The Holy Spirit must do the work of salvation, giving understanding and applying the gospel to people. With that understanding of the gospel and where lost people are, where they stand before the Holy God, let me offer three ways for us to pray for day camp this week. The first one, number one, pray for a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Church culture is often getting the good news, the gospel, wrong. We say things like, the gospel is that Jesus loves you, or be merciful and serve one another, that's living out the gospel. Always give the gospel, and when needed, use words. Well, none of that fits the Bible's explanation of the gospel. The good news is delivered. The good news is proclaimed. We need to be more like Paul, who said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power." He said the same kind of thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. He said, When I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So nothing fancy, nothing clever, so that the message of Jesus would not be confused. But the cross of Christ, Jesus Christ and Him crucified, that's what He communicated clearly over and over again. That's what day camp needs to be about. And that's what we need to be praying for. That all the leaders clearly speak the gospel of Jesus Christ. Purpose, problem, plan, personal. In the singing, in the teachings, in the conversations. Church, let's pray for the clear communication of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's number one. Number two, pray that God would bless the kids and their parents with understanding. In Acts chapter 16, the Apostle Paul is communicating the gospel. And he's a Jew, and he was speaking to a group of Jewish women who were meeting down by the river to pray. Of course, Paul would have been preaching Jesus as the promised Messiah to religious women who didn't yet believe Jesus was the promised Messiah. And in Acts chapter 16, verse 14, we are told that the Holy Spirit gave understanding. Here's what it says. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. So God opened her heart, opened her mind, gave her understanding of the gospel so she would pay attention to the message of the gospel. Well, here we go. Church, pray that the Lord would open the hearts and the minds of the kids and the families this week at day camp. Ask God to bless the clear presentation of the gospel by blessing the kids with understanding the gospel, that in hearing it, they would believe and know that it is true. Pray for that this week. That's number two. And number three, the last one, pray for God to bring them into His salvation. You know, blind people cannot make themselves unblind. You've heard me say this before, but this is just such a common sense kind of truth. Blind people cannot make themselves unblind. Spiritual people, spiritually dead people, cannot make themselves spiritually alive. Citizens of the kingdom of darkness cannot make themselves citizens of the kingdom of God. Slaves to sin cannot free themselves and make themselves children of God. That all happens, as John 1 verse 13 puts it, not of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Philippians 1 verse 29 says, "For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake." So we are told that it is God's will that saves people. We are told that God grants faith to us in Jesus Christ. Salvation is a gift from him so that no one may boast in any way. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, God's people are directed to interact well with non-believers, being gentle and not quarreling with them. We are told to do this because, verse 25 and 26, God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. In Acts chapter 11, the disciples are gathered together and talking about who is becoming saved. And Acts chapter 11, verse 18 says, "When they heard these things, they fell silent, and they glorified God, saying, 'Then to the Gentiles also, God has granted repentance that leads to life.'" God grants repentance. God gives the gift of repentance to sinners. Understanding, repentance, salvation, all of these are gifts from God. From God. So, pray to the Lord of the harvest. That's how Jesus referred to God in Matthew 9, verse 38. Pray to the Lord of the harvest, the boss of the harvest, the sovereign one over the harvest. Pray that he would bring these kids and their families into his kingdom. Day camp is not about food and about games and about fun. Those things are included so that we can pass on the most terrific news to every person's deepest need. Their sinful standing before a holy God can be changed by Jesus Christ's finished work on the cross. So, church, brothers and sisters, let's every day, starting today, please, let's every one of us pray for day camp, that the gospel would be proclaimed clearly, clearly according to the scripture, that the Lord would bless the kids and then their families with understanding the gospel, and that the Lord would save many, many kids and their families. Please commit yourself to this holy task this week. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you.